those 2 weeks.
Nope, you're fine.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome to the Board of Supervisors meeting, August 3rd, 2021. Is there any changes to the agenda?
None.
Do we have an agenda? Okay.
Just gonna make sure that.
We shall meet with department heads and elected officials. Terry Johnson, County Auditor.
Good morning. I just want to remind everybody that for the City of Burlington candidates, next Monday is when their candidate filing period begins. It's August the 9th through August the 26th. 40 signatures are required. The papers are available online at our office and even at the city clerk's office. I think they can get them there too. So, and then all of the other cities and the school officials, well, their candidate filing period will be start August the 23rd through September the 16th. And there's a list of the number of candidates. All of this stuff can be found on our county election website. We have also posted on there a little short excerpt of 2021 election law changes for Iowa voters. It's on that website, informing everybody of the latest and greatest updates. And then I also posted on there, because we're required at least 60 days before, so I'll be getting this to the papers probably mid-month, that the City of Burlington is going to have a on their November ballot, their local option sales and services tax, the loss tax. That needs to be approved, and they'll have that on their ballot in November. And then also, we are changing the permanent location for Precinct FM, which is the City of Middletown and Flint River Township. We always had it at the conservation office before, but last year we moved it to the City Hall, Middletown City Hall, and it worked out great there. They had plenty of room and stuff. Parking might not be the best, but they still have more room to move around inside. So we are permanently moving to the Middletown City Hall. We sent out postcards to every voter that is in that precinct, as we're required to, and then we'll be posting notices for that too, for the official change. But all of these can be found on our election website, Des Moines County election website.
On the other schools that start is on the 24th, do they have to have 40 signatures too, the same, like for Minneapolis and Danville?
No, for the schools, that's different. For the City of Burlington, the city council, they have to have at least 40 signatures. Danville, Minneapolis, Middletown, and West Burlington all only need 10 on their nomination petitions because of their size. That's the rules that they have. And then for the schools, those are different. They're based on the number of registered voters in their district. So Burlington, for Burlington School Board, they'll need at least 50 signatures. And Danville 21, Minneapolis 36, West Burlington 20, and SCC 50. That's the minimum. Always get more, just in case somebody signs it that's not in your district or not eligible, because when those are crossed out, you still have plenty. So that's what we always recommend.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Lisa Schaefer, County Attorney.
Just finishing up getting ready for National Night Out this evening. Also, our COVID protocols in the courtrooms have been primarily lifted. We'll see how that changes as the weeks progress. But at this point, we've, for the most part, reverted back to doing trials the way we had before, which gives us the option now of using the downstairs courtroom. So it's easing some of the pressure on the third floor courtroom, where we don't do every trial in that room. Judge Bailey's courtroom has opened back up, and I'm sure Krista can attest to this. We'll just see how that continues to play out over the coming weeks. They may reinstitute some of those protocols, but at this point, I think the only one that's left, but for the discretion of the judge, is if people are unvaccinated, they're still asked to wear a mask. I think in the trials I've done, We always have anywhere between 5 to 10% of the people who are, so we're trusting that they are doing that. My guess is they're going to be a little more conscientious of it now that they're not spread out. They're actually sitting next to one another. But other than that, we're just keeping busy.
Thank you. Colin Gersh, IT.
Just keeping busy like always. I was at the office there last week, so doing some catch up and that, but nothing new to report.
Kevin Glendenning, Sheriff.
Good morning. Things are going well at the Sheriff's Office. We've had a busy week, but nothing major to report. Echo what Lisa said, National Night Out is tonight. And Lisa's office, along with Adam, with Major Schaefer, with the Berlin Police Department, put together a great event. So come out and interact with local law enforcement and emergency service personnel and get something to eat, enter some drawings. It'll be a great night out there tonight. We'll be at the riverfront. So other than that, we have a couple agenda items, and our jail population's at 66.
Wow, that's great.
Holding well, yeah, 60s and 70s is great.
Thank you, Kevin. Krista Pogemiller.
Good morning.
Public Health.
Good morning. As Lisa mentioned, you know, numbers are kind of fluctuating a little bit right now, so we're waiting to see how things turn out. They are posting the percentages back on the website. Currently, we're at 9% with 20 positive cases in the last 7 days. They update that every Wednesday at 11:30. So tomorrow we'll get a better idea of what the last 7 days, because the numbers now are from the 21st to the 27th. So we'll see what the last 7 days have done. Really encouraging people to get the vaccine. I think the way we prevent from going back to masks and you know, the lockdowns and those kind of things, and how we put those mitigation strategies in place is by people getting vaccinated. So we're offering those vaccines. We're working with different employers and going out to sites and giving vaccines. We'll be there tonight at National Day Out to give vaccines. So really encouraging people to do that. Anyone who's interested in hosting a vaccine clinic at their work site or to contact us at Public Health, we'd be more than glad to do that. We are continuing to have the test at home kits at our office, and people are getting those. So encourage anyone who thinks they may be symptomatic for COVID to pick up a test. They can do that, and then they can either return it back to us to mail into the state hygienic lab, or it actually comes with a envelope that they can mail it directly. We did just finish up manning the first aid tent for the county fair last week, so we were out there giving education and information on the vaccine, and again hoping that'll bring people into our office.
Good. Thank you. Do you have many people taking that test kit?
We have. So, yeah, we've had a lot. So we have gone through, I think, right about 100. We ordered 50 to start with. Those were gone. And then we ordered a second 50. And now I think we've actually ordered a third. So we're working towards that 150. So people are coming in and taking those test kits. Quite a few people bring them back to the office for us to mail in, because we don't mail in. We have the state hygienic has a courier that comes to our office, so they can pick that up directly. Makes it a little easier, but...
Good. Glad to hear that.
So you have to mail those in? You do the test and then
if
send
you
it
do
off.
It from home, you do. It's a UPS.
Okay.
Drop off. For us, we just have the courier. The courier stops by our office every day and picks those up.
Now in England, they have the little, they look like little pregnancy things that mark if you have COVID or not. Will we see, do you think we'll see those?
Yeah, I don't know. Currently, a lot of the offices have the rapid tests that they utilize. We just have the one that people put saliva into. It's a little cup, and they expectorate into that. And then we obviously take it in, and they test that. So I'm not sure if we'll ever get the other ones.
They've come a long way since they stuck that thing up your nose, past your eyeball, into your brain.
Yes, it has. It has.
Thank you, Krista.
You're welcome.
Our county treasurer.
Good morning. We're keeping busy. Last Friday we mailed out mobile home statements. So we're working on real estate statements right now. Hopeful that we'll get them out mid-month as usual, but there's a little bit of a delay with the state file for all 99 counties. But even with that delay, I anticipate that we'll still be able to get them out mid-August. But we're busy working on that.
Thank you, Janelle. I don't know where to start with. I'm going to go with you, Zach.
It'll be much faster.
It'll be much faster. Zach James, Reading Appointment.
Good morning. Things are going well. Not a lot of new things to report. It's been somewhat quiet and uneventful. Well, thanks to Lisa and her team, we got our comments and review on our zoning and subdivision ordinance updates that we've been working on. So we're going to start to, we've got a few edits to make based on those comments, but we're going to start kind of transitioning to going through approval process on those. Floodplain development ordinance, there's an item on the agenda for some appointments to that board, and that was kind of prompted by some updates that we have to make to that ordinance and some new maps that are going to be coming effective here in a couple months. So we need to get those folks appointed so we can go through some review process with them as well on the floodplain stuff. But otherwise, things are kind of working as normal.
Thank you, Zach. Yep. Chris Lee, County Conservation.
Good morning. Not a lot to update on. We'll see. Last week, we did finally get out with the engineers that we hired and get our sediment sampling in the lake completed. It'll be quite a while before we have any results back from that, but that's part of the watershed plan that we've been working on. The lake is incredibly covered with algae, as we know. So we get a lot of questions about that. Is there anything we can do about it? And the short answer is no in the short term. The only way to really fix that is to make the improvements in the watershed and keep those nutrients from reaching the lake in the first place. So we are working hard on that. And our hope is by the end of this year, we'll have that plan written, submitted to the EPA. We'll get federal approval sometime after that. And then that will qualify us for federal funding, which we can then use to hire a watershed coordinator to start getting out there and executing some of these improvements up in the watershed to start improving that lake. We're also working a lot behind the scenes on getting things moving with this master plan that we've come out with for that park. We're going to be forming a couple of subcommittees. One is an accessibility task force. I'm going to try to gather up some folks to come up there and kind of provide some advisement on how to make some of the park features more accessible kind of start nailing down the details, because that's one of the key components of that master plan, is to improve the accessibility of that park. I'm going to try to gather up some folks, get some input on that. Here in a couple weeks, I meet with the foundation to start talking about a fundraising committee, start doing that. So we've also completed our summer camps, Stars Cave, and so those are done for the year. Our staff there looking into fall programs. We are going to be bringing back the Hike and Park events. Those, I believe, are going to be Thursdays, and we're going to be doing two a month through the fall. So the specific dates and specific parks haven't been nailed down yet, but that'll be coming out. You can watch our website or our Facebook pages for those. So I'm looking forward to doing those again. Those were pretty popular back in the spring, and I know a lot of folks like them. So we are still doing our paddle in the parks. So anybody wants to paddle the lake can still come out and do that. And we do that one Saturday a month. So. Kind of keeping on top of things as best we can.
On your, how to make your camp, you know, more accessible for and more easy to navigate, I hope you really consider some kind of a handicap thing to get down to the beach.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of people ask that.
Yep. I've been doing a lot of research on that and seeing what they've done in other parks. Went on vacation out to Western Iowa. We went to a state park beach out there and seen kind of what they were doing, trying to figure that out. And so, yeah, that's definitely high on the list is there. And then the canoe launch and then that boat ramp, you know, are the three main ones that we want to focus on first. Yep. Because lake access is the big thing, because those sides are just so steep. Yep.
Thanks, Chris.
Yeah.
Brian Carter, Secondary Roads.
Good morning. Things are moving along. The bridge at 99 is the hot topic, rightfully so. People get worn out, but we are starting to button things up. Contractors in the final stages. Had an on-site meeting yesterday to kind of go over some I would call minor punch list stuff. I think just getting down to a point where figuring out the contractor when we can open it, there'll probably still be a little bit of work left after it's open. So that's where we're at. I think saying this week is probably optimistic, but I'd say maybe this week or next week, if things keep moving and stuff like that, so. As close as we've been, that's a good thing. I think people are tired asking the question, and I think some of us are tired listening to the question, so I think we just get her opened up, that'd be great. So, but I, you know, again, it's a major road. We knew you can't close a road like that, and people are gonna get fed up with it. I don't blame them. So either way, that's good news. Flint Bottom is moving along. There's still plenty of work left there. That's not on the cusp of opening, but they are making good headway. I don't think they're probably quite half done, but they're making good headway and still removing pavement. And you know, it's one of those spots where when you're working with houses along the way and trying to keep people access to their houses at the same time, it does add a little layer to the whole project. But they've done a good job with that. So, would say that I believe that the Geode project that we're gonna do, the paving project on the west side of Geode, I believe that will start up here in a couple weeks, August 16th, or at least that week. That road will go closed. So I would mention that. And then we have a pre-construction meeting this week relating to the Pleasant Grove project. So I'll have more information about their schedule for sure next week, if not before. So, and then plenty of other stuff. We are back ditching on Irish Ridge. So that's just something for people to pay attention to. I think most people up there are accustomed to us up there. Just a lot of odds and ends and stuff. So moving along.
Rodney Blazner, maintenance.
Good morning. Really, just keeping busy and nothing new to report. Did a couple of interviews last week, so hopefully we'll get our position filled here very soon. So, looking forward to that.
Thanks, Rodney. Angie Vaughn, how about the safety committee?
Good morning.
How are we doing?
It's going to be a busy month. We have a lot of committee meetings. Got the annual report done, so we'll be coming here with that, kind of talking about what we've seen in the past year, and so it's kind of eye-opening putting all the graphs and the charts together, so that'll be coming up.
Thank you. And Heidman, how about the Silver Creek, and how are we doing there with mental health?
Doing good. We've been doing a lot of region-wide training this past week or two. Our computer system, the CSN, they call it, Community Services Network, that's a statewide system, got a bunch of upgrades, and so we all got trained on the new upgrades for the computer. And in 2019, we had training on individual placement and support. It's an evidence-based practice about getting support and employment for people with disabilities and doing those services. And over the years, years ago, you used to just put people in sheltered workshops, help them develop skills in a large facility with a lot of people with disabilities working together, and then one by one they'd go out and they'd find jobs out in the community as they could. Well, this individual placement and support says, no, that's the old way of doing it. We want you to get a job first and have the job coach right at the site helping them with the job. And so it's a different philosophy than what they used years ago, and I think it's a good philosophy. And so it's been good seeing the local providers getting training on that. And I know Hope Haven has applied for another grant to try and do more with that, and so we hope that they get that. As a region, we're trying to support them with that, give them letters of support, things like that. So that's what we've been doing this past few weeks.
Thank you. Did I miss anybody? I think we didn't miss anybody. We shall move on. The correspondence, you have, anybody have any correspondence? I see none here.
I have none.
I have none. Okay, discussion vote. We have the 2021 Edmund Byron Memorial Justice Assistance Grant JAG agreement. Do you wish me to read this? Or?
I can explain it to you. Adam Schaefer of the Burlington Police Department. What we have proposed for you today is an interlocal agreement between the City of Burlington and Des Moines County. We have a great opportunity, just shy of $25,000, that can be shared between law enforcement, the Burlington Police Department, and Des Moines County Sheriff's Department. In conversation with the sheriff and other personnel over there, we have decided on a side-by-side crew cab winterized package UTV. It will all be accessed with some emergency equipment, including emergency lights and a siren. The UTV itself will be have insignia of the Sheriff's Department as well as the Burlington Police Department. There's no out-of-pocket cost for the county. The Burlington Police Department will manage the grant. We'll also be responsible for the storage and the insurance on the vehicle. We'll use it for search and rescue, but more importantly, we can use it for some community engagement for large events like the Des Moines County Fair concert series on the riverfront. And once we have that, it'll be accessible to all law enforcement agencies within Des Moines County. So no out-of-pocket expense. It's a routine burn jack grant that we usually have the same opportunity each year. It's $24,667. As long as we get everything done in a timely fashion, we should be able to get that and get that purchased yet this year. So, do you have any questions?
Sounds like a winner.
It does.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I move to approve. Second. Carrie?
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes. We have a proclamation for the National Night Out.
Move to approve.
Well, read this. Whereas the National Association of Town Watch, the NATW, sponsors the National Community Building Campaign on Tuesday, August 3rd, 2021, entitled National Night Out. And whereas the National Night Out campaign provides an opportunity for neighbors in Des Moines County and the greater Burlington area to join over 38 million neighbors across 16,000 communities from all 50 states, U.S. territories, and military bases worldwide. And whereas National Night Out is an annual community building campaign that promotes strong police community partnerships and neighborhoods, camaraderies to make our neighbors safer, more caring places to live and work, and assist local law enforcement agencies throughout joint community buildings efforts to support National Night Out. And whereas it is essential that all neighbors of Des Moines County and the greater Burlington area come together with law enforcement and work together to build a safer and more caring community. And now therefore, we the Board of Supervisors of Des Moines County do hereby call upon all citizens of Des Moines County to join the Des Moines County Sheriff's Department, the Des Moines County Attorney's Office, the Burlington Police Department, and National Association of Town Watch in support of National Night Out on Tuesday, August the 3rd, 2021. Further, let it be resolved that we, the Board of Supervisors of Des Moines County, do hereby proclaim Tuesday, August 3rd, 2021 as a National Night Out in the County of Des Moines, Iowa.
And you? I move to approve.
Second. Terry?
Shane Campbell?
Yes, please.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
You can take one, Lisa, and leave one for me.
We have about accounts payable claims for $1,036,293.42.
I move to approve.
Second. Carey?
Shane McCambell?
Yes.
Jim Carey?
Yeah.
We have a resolution approving appointments to the Goins County Floodplain Advisory Board. Do you want to make any statements on this, Zach?
I kind of alluded to this earlier. The advisory committee just provides guidance on floodplain ordinance updates, FEMA firm maps, kind of does a review on those. And we probably should have done these appointments early in the year, but with the impending ordinance updates and the new maps, we noticed we had some members. We're getting ready to organize a meeting. Just noticed some members need to be reappointed. They are longtime members who are willing to serve again, so.
Okay, Boyne County Board of Supervisors approves appointments to the Des Moines County Floodplain Advisory Board, and whereas Vicki Stoller, representing the Lebanon Drainage District, and Jeff Bergman, representing county residents, have expressed interest in continuing to serve on the board. Now therefore be it resolved that the Board of Supervisors hereby reappoints Vicki Stoller with a 3-year term to expire August 1st, 2024, and Jeff Bergman with a 2-year term to expire August 1st, 2023, Des Moines County Floodplain Advisory Board.
Move to approve.
Second. Carey?
Shane McCambell?
Yes.
Jim Carey?
Yes.
Quickly thank them for their service too. Like I said, they've been doing this for a long time and appreciate their commitment.
Des Moines County appreciates it.
Right on. Okay, we have personnel action. We have a personnel action for the auditor's office, Sarah Doty. It's an anniversary. Previous rate, $46,145.57. The new rate is $49,807.92.
What's your wish? Excuse me?
What's your wish on that?
I move to approve.
Second.
Shane McCambell?
Yes.
Jim Carey?
Yes.
Is she looking at me?
The next one is for local health, Julie Shaw, certified nurse's aide, is a new hire, permanent part-time CNA, 28 hours per week at $14.42 an hour.
Move to approve.
Second. Carey?
Shane McCambell?
Yes.
Jim Carey?
Yes. We have the minutes for the regular meeting on July the 27th, 2021.
Move to approve.
Second.
Shane McCambell?
Yes, please.
Jim Carey?
Yes. Is there any other business?
I've
future agenda items? Anything going on? Future agenda items? Nope.
Not at this time.
Committee reports.
I had something I was supposed to share and I forgot to make a note of that. I'll hold that.
I didn't have any committees. Public input. We'll give you 2 minutes for anybody in the audience to have public input. Seeing nobody here, we'll give them 2 minutes. And to call in to 319-753-8203, extension 4. That's 319-753-8203, extension 4. Or they can email the Board of Supervisors at the board@DesMoines County.com. That's board@DesMoines County.com, and we'll give you 2 minutes to do this.
Jim, I need to mention, I forgot to say something earlier. This somewhat has to do with us, but it wasn't our cause. So when the bridge opens up on 99, part of the DOT's project is that they need to reconstruct the area near Upper Flint where that intersection is. Well, they missed the fact that we were using that, well, Highway 61 actually, as a detour route. Which they have approved. We've been using it since November now. So they actually told the contractor they couldn't close it, but as soon as this bridge opens up and 99 opens up and the detour's done, they will be closing Upper Flint and to work on that roadway as part of their project. So one end gets open, the other end gets closed again. I do not know, and they could not tell me. Previously they communicated better about that subject, and in the past they actually put a deadline on the closure when it was Flint Bottom. This one apparently slipped through the cracks on their behalf, so they thought they were going to close it 2 weeks ago, which obviously wouldn't work very well. Just to give everybody a heads up, that when ours is open, I would guess it won't be long at all, and that one will be closed on that end, which is, I think, a lesser of the two as far as a deal. I mean, there are people that cut across from 61 over that way, but I think people would rather have 99 open at this point. But I do want to mention that that's the nature of it. So when I have a better idea of time, I can pass it on, Shane, but I don't know that at this point. I asked that question, they could not give me an answer.
Okay. They'll give you three answers and they'll all three be wrong.
There's probably some truth to that, too.
Appreciate your honesty, Brad.
So, just to mention it.
Okay, seeing the 2 minutes are up, nobody called in. We do have a work session after the meeting, and give us about a 5-minute break, and with an aye, we're out of here.
Aye.
Aye.